Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Greg Hahn, President and Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. Welcome. With me in the studio is Amy Anderson, Production Coordinator. Good morning, Amy. Happy Monday.
Good morning, Greg.
And Adam Coons. Adam.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm okay.
Just okay?
Just okay.
So I got a few highlights for the weekend. I got a new iPhone. And I'm going to spend the next week trying to get it set up. So this is the biggest pain in the butt. trying to get a new phone.
Yeah.
All my passwords, all that stuff. And I got to re-remember it. And the passwords that I thought I had don't work. So I'm going through the... So anyway, but it's bright red and it matches my Keurig machine. So I'm pretty happy about that. All right. Adam, let's talk about a few things. We got some interesting things going on in the corporate world. And then some big macro issues with respect to inflation and jobs numbers. So let's kick off with the inflation piece of this thing because it's been persistent. We're coming in on a year now because this started in the first quarter.
Yep.
We're at November 15th. It's literally the halfway point through the fourth quarter of the year. So we're at the home stretch for a year. If we ended the year today, probably be a pretty good year.
Really good year. 20%.
Right? And so, but we still have a ways to go here. But inflation is running hot. The Fed is letting it run hot.
Yep.
This flies in the face of everything we've ever been taught and almost 40 years of experience in this business that the Fed would allow this to continue. So we're risking a policy mistake potentially here where Fed keeps interest rates artificially low. And frankly, they can't. They're trapped. They really can't move rates quickly because it'll choke the economy, which is I'm going to argue. I know you'll take the other side of this. I'm going to argue that it is strong, but I would concede that it's fragile.
Sure.
I don't think this is the the robust strength that we're seeing. So we're seeing, but we're seeing inflation run, over 5%
now.
Unemployment at 4.6% masks the decline in the participation rate. And the conundrum, this is really interesting, is looking at the jobs numbers. We've had some time to kind of peel into it. It's surprising that with the reopening of schools and with the expiration of the extended unemployment benefits in September, that has not been a catalyst to bring people back to work yet.
Right.
So mid-November, we're still not seeing that kind of improvement. So we'll see. It's a lagging issue. We knew that it would be a lagging issue. It wouldn't happen right away. But we still have over 4 million people that were employed pre-pandemic that are still sitting on the sidelines.
Right.
So a labor shortage we have. All right. Adam, let's switch over to what you've got.
So on the stock side, obviously earnings are still going on. We're on the tail end here. Disney was the one that reported last week that was pretty good overall from a subscriber standpoint. So 118 million total subscribers. They added 2.1 of Disney Plus. ESPN's doing much better. Direct to consumers, 38% increase year over year. So a pretty good quarter for Disney, but shares did decline quite a bit, down 5%. And really it was on the fact that their revenue number missed expectations. And so this is kind of where you're seeing the consumer not really getting to the theme parks like we thought they would. And then supply chain actually was a bit of an issue.
But the theme parks, that was like still, that was over $600 million of profit.
It was. I mean, it was still, it was still a good quarter. It's still a good company.
So too.
It's just, I think the expectations were a little bit too high.
Well, this is issue about shifting business models. And we're so far in the weeds, we take this for granted. But what Disney's done is frankly amazing because it's shifted its media business from basically a cable content type of business that was kind of all over the place into a centralized streaming business to really compete with the streaming services led by Netflix.
Yep.
Which also had earnings last week.
They did. They were good.
So what do we got there?
Yeah. I mean, on the Netflix side, I mean, basically you've got subscriber base is growing rapidly.
4.4 million.
Yeah. And Squid Games was...
right? So think about this. We've got this iconic mouse that's existed for almost 100 years.
Yeah.
And we've got Squid Games.
Very different.
And here's the important thing is the market cap of Netflix exceeds the market cap of Disney.
Yeah.
And that is really a testament to the business model that Netflix have, which is a subscriber-based model that is global and is amazing. And Disney, to its credit, is shifting to that model, but we're only 5 years into it.
Right.
So they've got 115 million subscribers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Disney does.
They do, yeah.
So in the whole Marvel Comics franchise, which is totally awesome except for Black Widow, but you won't go there. but yeah, that's what's amazing to me is how these businesses, these century-old businesses have to shift in order to be competitive in today's marketplace.
That's kind of the same thing we see with Tesla and all the other legacy autos, right? I mean, Tesla far surpasses the size of all the legacy autos with far less sales. So It's really about investors want business models, not...
I don't see it on Netflix's business model to acquire a theme park.
No.
So speaking of acquisitions and divestitures, do you have GE on your radar this morning?
I did not have GE on my...
Well, let's cover GE just a little bit because this really speaks to this whole conglomerate thing. So
yeah.
And I having gone through business school, and I can't remember where my wallet and my glasses are, but I can remember a lot of stuff that I learned in business school. And so the whole idea behind a conglomerate is that you think management is more efficient at allocating capital into projects that will earn an after-tax rate of return above their cost of capital. That's a lot for a Monday morning.
Right.
So then the issue is, well, are you better off buying a mutual fund of companies or buying a conglomerate? Yeah. GE did a great job, especially with GE Finance, building that conglomerate and building business practices around that. However, post-financial crisis where the GE Finance got into trouble, it's been just basically dismantling. So last week they announced that they're finally going to break the company up into three mm-hmm. different companies,
yeah.
aviations, basically a power business and a healthcare business.
Yep.
So that follows Simmons. Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I mean, so now we're seeing these companies that have built these businesses, and there's a cynical side to me that says, really, is management that creative that we're just going to go through 40 years of, let's build the business, now let's break it up?
Right.
But there is a mindset in the context of today's market, especially where valuations are excessive, or not excessive, but very high for tech or business models that have recurring revenue, that you would want to unlock that valuation. And I think mm-hmm. in a large part, that's what we're seeing GE do. So
yep.
It's the end of an era. It's like my daughter taught me about the turkey dump. It's like where you go home for vacation from college and you break up with your boyfriend kind of thing.
No.
this is the corporate turkey dump right before Thanksgiving. We're breaking these companies up. That's all I got.
Well, I mean, and it's funny because over the last couple of years, we've complained about the fact that there's been so much consolidation that, you know, when we're trying to find issuers and when we're trying to find bonds, that the fact that there's been so much consolidation, there's less names to buy, it's made it more difficult. And then look, now we're going right back in the other direction. So I guess that's just the course of the cycle.
Did you watch Adele last night?
I did not.
I did. I love that. I mean, it was impressive. So speaking of the dump, the divorce, but it's amazing what for 30 years old how deep that her music is. So I was really impressed with it. It was a phenomenal setting at the Griffith Observatory in Los Angeles, an outdoor thing. It was just wonderful to see her back. So, all right, what else you got?
So then, I guess you're, as we're talking about markets in general and asset allocation, you know, the difficult place to be this year really has been fixed income, and I mean the ag is down 2% year to date. And even short duration strategies, generally speaking, on the index side are negative. So in a year where the S&P 500 is up over 20%, you know, a balanced portfolio is basically, you know, lagging considerably because fixed income really just hasn't held its own. Rates are up on the 10-year, year over year, still 60 basis points because we're coming off such a low level. So spreads continue to tighten, but it's just been a kind of a tough year, and it's kind of hard to see how we get any meaningful returns out of fixed income in the foreseeable future.
It will be a challenge. There's no question. And I think the real issue too is from a market standpoint, how long the market investors just sit where we're at,
right?
With recognizing how inflation is running, because fundamentally we would normally see interest rates rise based on some modicum of economic growth. We would expect to see interest rates rise, but the Fed's letting it sit here. I think we're going to see we run the risk, I think, of interest rates moving higher and the Fed allowing rates to go higher just to curb inflation. And there's more and more in the market that are calling for that. What happens to stock prices when that happens? It's going to be really interesting to watch, right? Especially that tech sector that's more vulnerable to rising rates. So I think that's one of the risks we have heading into the end of the year and then the early part of next year.
And then, so then to that point, if we're going to see interest rates rise, that really begs the question on technology stocks, because we've seen that correlation to rising.
We've gone through twice.
Yeah. When interest rates rise, and this is how sensitive, you know, when we talk about valuation, how sensitive valuation is to interest rates, is that every time interest rates rise, you see technology sell off. So yeah, we've had that two occurrences of rates going up meaningfully, and then tech sells off pretty sharply. So I think that's one thing we're looking at, is how to kind of pare back a little bit of our technology exposure.
And we're value, and I'm not talking deep value, Adam, but where value stocks have lagged growth stocks, mm-hmm. just generally, is to look at a shift in our models to incorporate more of that traditional value type strategy, which de-emphasizes the S&P 500, which is that large cap risk, which emphasizes the top six growth stocks type of thing. So I think the time is now. I mean, we've done really well with large cap and that tech, but we've tested it twice. We're about to test it.
Can't work forever.
Third time. Well, anything else on your plate?
No, just heading into the holiday season. So I think we'll start to see liquidity start to dry up this week.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be kind of probably a little bit more volatile market as more and more players are taking vacation and whatnot. So it's a little easier to see the market move.
So, So we've got a couple more podcasts heading into the end of the year. So we'll end up, over the next couple of weeks, we'll introduce the five stocks for 2022. We'll also unpack our investment themes for 2022, and then how we'll handle model structures for the next year post pandemic. So, hey, thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you through the week. Take care.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2021, Winthrop Capital Management.